everything is going to become gargantuan when the Son of Man comes.
Coming to you live from New York City, the Off the Meter radio program, Jimmy Fallon, Dean Imperial. Busy day on the show today. They're shooting up the Capitol, folks.
I know.
They're shooting at the White House. They're shooting at the Capitol. They're doing it with kids in the car.
They are.
My wife bitches at me for texting with the kid in the car.
Right.
She gets mad at me for changing the station when we're in motion in the motor vehicle. This woman breaking all kinds of laws.
Wouldn't it be funny if her husband was in the car with her?
It was one of those, like a husband and wife road rage gone wild. I'll show you. I'll ram the White House.
How I feel about this? I'll show you.
I'll show you a bad driver.
Right.
I'm going to ram the White House, Murray. I'm going to ram the goddamn White House.
Murray.
Of course it's Murray. Coming up on the show today, if you didn't hear already, because they got to be talking about it everywhere. Daniel Linus will be with us. He's a famous music producer and engineer. Once beat the game Zelda on Nintendo.
Really?
We'll get into that. We're going to want to know how it made him feel.
I understand he's right-handed.
He's right-handed. Nat Towson will be in the building, a Sagittarius. Booker of the famous...
Actually, he's a Scorpio.
Is he a Scorpio?
Yes, he is.
Son of a bitch. Well, he'll be here regardless of his zodiac affinity. And, of course, the Fink man, Dave Finkelstein, a GOP strategist who's as in the loop with the government shutdown as anybody I know.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, no show would be complete without your calls and emails, ladies and gentlemen. 855-236-2280 is that number. You can call us. You can be a part of this.
When I first heard there was a shooting, I thought it was the Fink man.
You thought for sure it was the Fink man. Honestly, I thought it was one of our listeners. I'm like, oh, we have listeners
she
in D.C.
She might be. She might be.
It could easily be.
Yeah.
What a fun day to try to be funny on the radio. They're shooting up the Capitol. We'll handle it.
Listen, the person who was shooting got shot.
Yeah, that's true. It's a win.
It's just the kid in the car.
We got the... Now it's just a kid with a very weird childhood.
Yeah.
You really set that kid up well.
The kid's already getting tattoos.
Oh, as we speak.
Yeah.
That's really funny. Folks, people come to Off the Meter to hear huge news stories covered by people who know nothing about them. What do you say we go ahead and start this party?
Absolutely.
This orgy of news. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. The five biggest news stories of the day. And we should remind all of you that the shooting at the White House, the shooting at the Capitol, is a fluid story that we're going to be updating throughout the show.
Right.
By no means are we saying that that isn't one of the five biggest news stories of the day. It's just an ongoing story.
Right. We've given you as much information as we've gotten right now.
This is all we've got.
That's it.
Black Infinity, mom driving, kid riding shotgun, mom shoots, they shoot back. Some people say she's dead. Some people say she's in custody. The only thing we care about is that you, the listener, are in our custody right now.
That's right.
For the foreseeable future. Because we've got a big couple hours of reality radio on our hands. So a ship, it's not all bad news today, guys. Not all bad news.
Okay.
A ship carrying African migrants to Europe caught fire and capsized off the Italian island of Lampedusa on Thursday, killing all 94 people on board as it spilled hundreds of passengers into the sea, officials said.
See, now that's...
All right, so I lied. It's all bad news.
That's a much sadder story.
Much worse. So much worse. Over 150 people were rescued, but some 200 others were still unaccounted for.
Wow, think about like losing that many people.
In one shot.
In one shot.
Talk about a rough day at the office.
I know, right? But if you're going to go... Going in a big group is a little bit better than going alone.
It really is like a meetup.com.
Yeah. Yeah, right?
Meet me at the boat tonight.
Yeah.
We'll all go out
together.
We'll
all cross over to the other side.
It's a mass suicide. If you cruise Carnival Cruise Lines, it's like half a mass suicide.
There you go.
Losing power, dumping stuff in the ocean.
What happened?
Says it was one of the deadliest accidents in recent times during... It's the notoriously perilous Mediterranean sea crossing. Caught fire. Something exploded in one of the back burners. Who needs an iceberg when you got a flammable burner?
Right.
Terrible story. Not a good story.
No.
Dead. Rough way to go, man.
No way to build off of that one.
No country. Who's ready some jokes?
There's no stairway to comedy off of that story.
Are you guys ready for some jokes?
Are you ready for comedy jokes, ladies and gentlemen?
Hey, pull my finger.
300 people are dead.
Oh, my God. What a mess.
All right.
Well, on the flip side, let's see.
What else?
One person on that boat was happy, and that was the comedian. because there's no comedian playing a cruise that likes the gig.
Right.
I mean, I consider the comedian a suspect in this
explosion. The thought of being trapped. You thought about, you've known guys who have been trapped on cruises for periods of time just doing comedy night after night.
I once had a guy, when I was new to comedy, give me the ego stroke of a lifetime. I was opening for him. He grabbed me. We were in Connecticut. And said, you know what? You go second. You headline. I can't follow you. And I was like, wow, I'm the best comic in the world. And I did my set. I was so excited for that. And when he was over, he sat me down and he goes, yeah, between you and me, he goes, I'm a way better comic than you. He goes, I'm just a really sad man because I do cruises all the time.
Oh,
he goes,
man.
And I was too sad to try and be – this is what he said. He goes, I was too sad to try and be funny for a whole hour. He's like, he's like, all I do is eat and gamble. He's like, I'm on the boat 24 hours a day, 2 weeks at a time. He does one show a night for 45 minutes. So he's got 23 hours of 15 minutes of buffet and casino.
Does he meet any ladies?
Not at the size he's at.
Oh, no.
No. I said, are you one of those sad sacks of shit that's actually doing the boat to pay off your gambling vig? And you know what he said? He said, I'm actually paying off my buffet vig.
Oh, man.
So to answer your question, Dean, no, he does not get a lot of chicks at that size.
Well, wait. I could destroy a pepperoni pizza right now.
Was he on the boat?
I don't know, but I'm saying if he was.
Oh, so it's not a happy story.
But if he was, he was a suspect.
Okay.
Yeah, anytime a cruise ship explodes, there's a happy comic.
Yeah.
No comic's happy on a boat.
Well, wait, they know it exploded?
Caught fire.
Okay,
calling
right.
it an explosion.
Because every once in a while, a fat guy will explode.
Oh, it was like the Monty Python Meaning of Life?
Or, yeah.
Somebody
like,
spontaneously
right.
combusted?
Yeah.
That's possible. I mean, that's a hell of a spontaneous combustion to take out 94 mofos.
I know.
But you never know. Bigfoot is real. How about that? Bigfoot is real. And there's now both DNA and video evidence to prove it, claims one group of devoted Sasquatch researchers.
Okay.
Here's the story. It says the group's never-before-seen footage of an alleged Bigfoot creature sleeping in the woods of Kentucky has been presented this week along with various blood and hair samples said to be unlike anything seen before. So they went around. They were given a $500,000 grant by a Bigfoot enthusiast. Gave these people...
I didn't know there was such a thing.
Well, here's the thing. It was a misunderstanding. The guy was actually a fan of the monster truck Bigfoot
mm-hmm.
and thought he was getting a truck that could crush cars. Instead, he got funky DNA samples from the woods. Very upset.
Okay.
And rightfully so.
Yeah, sure.
So what happened is the group's startling statements are supposedly backed by 11 outside laboratories and universities, which all retrieved the findings and which were provided with blind samples. Though all of the samples turned out to be human, according to the researcher, when the samples were broadened into genome sequences,
mm-hmm.
some parts of the DNA were found to be identical to no other species previously known to man.
Was this story taken from TheEnquirer.com?
Because,
like, I can't believe this is actually a story.
Yeah,
Bigfoot
is real.
Bigfoot is real.
Is real.
Yeah.
They're saying he...
Can't you see the article in The Enquirer?
Oh, definitely.
With, the crappy image of
I
Bigfoot?
I can see Oprah dating him in The Enquirer. I can see all of that stuff. It says, we have more data in our paper than ever done before to prove a new species, but basic science doesn't like the results. This according to the man behind the lead.
Right.
He admits to once never believing in the existence of Bigfoot herself, this woman.
Uh-huh.
She says, but previous arguments made against their findings included that the sample's possible contamination by their collectors, intentional or otherwise. She said, this is Melba Ketchum, head of the investigation, a genetic scientist. We want people to understand that this is a serious study. That's what she said. We want you to know this is a serious Bigfoot. She said, says, unsurprisingly, others are challenging Ketchum's credibility, including New York University, whose laboratory Ketchum claims similarly tested a field sample and found it having unusual human mitochondrial results.
Okay.
Among the genetic and visual...
Are they saying there's one Bigfoot or many Bigfoot?
Many. And
many.
They're saying that this species is actually... it bucks the theory of evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And it is actually a somehow descendant of the human female.
Wow.
Yes, and they have video footage online of one sleeping in the woods in Kentucky.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just hard to tell what it is. It looks like Snuffleupagus. It's just a mass of fur on the ground.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's very strategic that there's not a face or feet or claws. You don't see it walking. You see it sleeping. Basically, they have an area rug in the woods of Kentucky.
But, like, nobody has a photo of it.
They do online. I'll show them to you. But it's just, again, it's not the... the online photos are not enough to convince me or probably anybody.
But where are these things hiding and sleeping?
I don't know. It's so weird that they couldn't be found in the Kentucky woods.
Yeah, there's never been like a photo, a full clear photo taken of one.
With all the moonshining going on in the backwoods of Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so hold on a second, you dopes. I'm going to grab it for you from thedailynews.com while we're sitting here. See what happens there. Give me your most looked at. Where is it, Daily News? Oh, you guys got some nerve. Just joining us, Dean and I breaking down the five biggest news stories of the day, one of which involves the substantiation of Bigfoot's existence.
Of the Bigfoot legend.
We thought it was worth looking into. We're looking into it.
I can't believe people are actually talking about that. That was a news story today?
How about us?
You know what? Somebody might have put that lady up to shooting the White House, because if this is the news cycle.
Let me see. Let's do it this way. Let's see what happens off a Google search now that I can't find it. Here it is. Bigfoot's existence now backed by DNA and video, claims the. So that's the picture. You see it?
Okay. So that's not a bear.
No.
All right.
They're saying it's not a bear. It says a group of Bigfoot researchers say breakthrough DNA and evidence and video like this one allegedly showing a female. That's a female Sasquatch. How do they know that?
But how do they know that?
That it's a female. It's an area rug. It's a toupee. What is that? They've decided it's real.
It's not a bear.
It's not a bear.
They don't have bear in those woods.
Apparently not.
Okay.
That's their claim.
Maybe they do and they don't know it.
DNA. Yeah. Actually, yeah, they do.
Huh?
They do have bear.
They do have bear.
They're not copping to it.
So they're not copping to it, and there you go.
I mean, if I put up...
What is that?
A tissue sample believed by the researchers to have been taken from the real-life Bigfoot.
What?
So how about a picture? How did they get close enough to get that shot, but the only picture we have is this area rug lying in the woods? You know what I mean? That looks like a pound puppy. It looks like a host of a million things.
There are cameras that can capture this at night.
They're saying this wooden structure in the woods is said to have contained a never-before-seen genetic structure that is said to be human. But, yeah, they don't have any pictures of the thing walking around. Like, if you got close enough to take a picture of it sleeping, so what are we to believe? All right, we got a shot of it sleeping. Let's get out of here.
Throw a stick at it.
Get some photos. They didn't think to wake it up.
Poke it.
Nobody has an alarm clock. Somebody has a bugle.
This story is ridiculous.
This is stupid.
Why are we talking about
this? Because it's the lead story on the most widely circulated paper in the city. Yes, I don't know how.
Was it on the front page?
Yes.
On the front page?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I'm trying to help you,
man. Daily News.
This is what's left of the world.
What's wrong with us?
I don't know. It's not a good sign for America.
God.
We're going down. We're going down in a heap. You know that?
Uh-huh.
When it doesn't look good for us.
Okay. You hear me, you fucking faggots?
71-year-old Louisiana prisoner spent 41 years in solitary confinement, is now dying of cancer, was released late Tuesday from prison. Nice of
him. Oh man.
Did they overturn his conviction?
They dropped him in the permanent fetal position that he was in. You don't go 41 years in solitary confinement and come out not in the fetal position.
No. And you have no use for the outside world at that point.
No.
And they overturned his conviction. How about that? As he's been diagnosed with terminal cancer. It says late Tuesday, U.S. District Judge.
Good luck, buddy.
Brian, yeah, go out. Yeah, have some fun. Judge Brian Jackson.
You've paid your debt to society.
Live it up. They're down in Baton Rouge. They denied the state's motion seeking to block his earlier order, overturning Herman Wallace's 74 murder conviction in the death of Angola guard Brent Miller. Jackson had also ordered a new trial because women were unconstitutionally excluded from the grand jury that indicted Wallace in the guard's death. He ordered him immediately released and earlier Tuesday overturned the conviction.
Wow.
So he's overturned. He's out. Kind of weird. Like to get it overturned when you're dying in 3 weeks.
Yeah, right.
Did he leave prison to Alanis Morissette? Ironic. Remember that song? That old dumb thing.
I do.
Tonight, Herman Wallace has left the walls of Louisiana prisons and will be able to receive the medical care that his advanced liver cancer requires. Basically,
liver cancer?
He's got liver cancer.
Oh, God. So,
41 years in solitary confinement, liver cancer.
Liver cancer.
This guy's batting 1,000.
Yeah.
This guy's really living it up. Do you want to go back to the big
story?
These
are really cheerful stories today.
What a good day to be in radio. You guys ready for some yucks? Ann Romney.
Okay.
Remember Ann Romney?
Yeah.
Wife of failed presidential hopeful Mitt Romney. She put out a cookbook.
Oh, this is news.
Down-home comfort food.
Oh, wow.
And in it, she took a shot at Mayor Bloomberg. People are outraged. She's talking about marshmallow fluff.
Okay.
And the importance of marshmallow fluff to any good homemaker's repertoire.
Mm-hmm.
Her direct quote was, while praising the use of fluff, she says that Mayor Bloomberg probably has fluff on his list of substances to be banned in New York City. Take that, Iron Man.
Oh.
You didn't.
You're a punk faggot. Now come on, do something.
Oh, wow, no, she's a sassy one, that
Ann
Romney.
Do you want? I want to say this. He's going to run again. You know how he's saying he'll never run again? They never want to do it again. Never want to. This is the kind of thing that really humanifies them and makes them seem accessible. A cookbook from her makes her seem like more of a homemaker. She talked about on the morning after they conceded the election, she made a batch of grandmother Pottinger's pancakes.
Wow.
And cheered everybody up.
What are those pancakes?
And that inspired her to write this book is what she's saying.
Oh, man.
I'm telling you, the fact that she's taking political shots and doing these down-homey things to seem more relatable, I bet you they run again.
Really?
There are people that never stop running. Think of, like, Adlai Stevenson.
Yeah, what else is he going to do?
He's running right now from the afterlife.
Some people don't
stop running. This would be his third run. I mean, Reagan did that a few times. Kennedy had a few shots at it. But the thing I thought that was the interesting revelation, Mitt Romney's favorite dish, pancakes with crunchy peanut butter and syrup. You've done that?
I've had pancakes with peanut butter. I've had peanut butter pancakes.
That is such a close – that's so close to Fat Elvis in spirit.
Yeah.
That I would have voted for him if I knew he did that.
With bananas, too.
Yeah, but he doesn't do bananas.
No.
Thick pancakes, crunchy peanut butter and syrup.
Now, is the crunchy peanut butter in between the pancakes?
Yes.
That's how it's supposed to be done.
He could have led with that. He should have accepted the nomination with that.
Yeah.
He would have got my whole family.
God, that sounds great.
Oh, listen, I know it does, actually. I so desperately want to leave and just go do that.
Yeah.
And our listeners want us to leave so bad, too.
I know.
It's like this could be a win-win for everybody if we just go get some goddamn pancakes.
Now, that was a good story.
Do you believe that's a dish he eats? Because he's just so skinny. He doesn't strike
as that guy. I absolutely. But those guys, you know what it is? Because he probably eats like half of it.
But yeah,
like
that's
a normal
true.
Human
he's
being.
One of those guys. Like, I just want to taste.
We eat the plate.
Oh, we're eating everything.
I lick the plate like a dog. I lick the plant like a dog and then chase it across the room, push it across the room.
Yeah. You know it's bad. Have you ever done your hair while holding up the plate?
Wait, what?
You can see your reflection in the plate. Like, I lick a plate that clean.
Oh, yeah.
I sit there and do my hair. Too funny. But if I knew that about him, I'm telling you, that's the kind of strategy that you need to lead with.
Yeah.
He needs to spend the next 3 years saying he's not going to run and being the most relatable guy in the world.
Yeah.
The Mitt Romney fishing show. Mitt Romney goes to the ball game. She makes pancakes, and then boom, I'm running.
Right?
Because I bet you he does want to run again. Because it has to burn your balls when it's that close.
Yeah.
And he really thought he was going to win. And I bet you it's the type of thing where he's thinking if he's going to work long con, it didn't help him to be the leading candidate for 4 years last time.
Right.
And if he announced he was running right now, he'd probably be the leading candidate.
Uh-huh.
Because people aren't thrilled with Obama.
Right.
So the alternative would look pretty damn good in hindsight.
Right.
But then he'd be the jerk that's the lead for 4 years that everybody gets sick of and loses again.
But you don't want to lose again.
You don't want to lose again, but you'd be surprised how many guys were willing to. You know, guys who ran against Eisenhower. I mean, Adlai Stevenson lost by, we'll ask the Fink when he gets on, but Ken, do you remember that? Did he lose every state but one?
Yeah, I guess.
He lost like everything. It was a big number.
Yeah.
A big number.
And he ran against Eisenhower.
Yeah. Almost as bad as what Goldwater did, because Goldwater had a little bit of a situation too. Goldwater lost everything.
Huge.
Everything. Do you remember his delegates gave the speech when they were counting the votes on election night?
We ain't found shit.
Right.
I remember that. That's a famous soundbite. So I don't know why anybody would want to do such a
right.
thing. But if I could make a prediction, he might run again.
Mm.
He might run again. Oh, and she says, this is what she says. On the night Mitt conceded the presidential election, they woke up the next morning. She made Grandmother Pottinger's pancakes to cheer him up. There was so much extra batter left over, she invited in the Secret Service detail that was getting ready to go home and made them pancakes, too. And that's a very down-homey thing for a woman that people have, you know, had a lot of issues with.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, they're crafting.
Some genius
marketeer is cultivating an image makeover for them.
Or she could just need something to do.
She might be bored as hell.
Yeah.
She thought she was going to be first lady, meaning she probably thought she was going to put this book out as first lady.
Yeah, who's publishing
the
book?
Oh, God. It's a selfie. No, I don't even know. But fascinating story. We move on.
Okay.
Woo, here's a question. Don't want your web dating service matching you up with any fatties? There's a fee for that. OkCupid.com, which builds itself as the best dating site on earth, is now allowing users to filter their prospects by body type. That's what they're going with. It says the 9-year-old site, whose basic service is free, is charging a filtering fee of $4.95 to $10 a month for its A-list members. It allows them to hide the body types they're not attracted to. Now, I got to tell you something. If you're ruling out the fatties, you're ruling out the fun. This is a terrible day not to have Pat Dixon on the show.
Right.
But, I mean, if you're ruling out the fun, what's the point of going on OKCupid? You're trying to get laid. You're trying to find somebody fun.
Right.
You don't want to waif.
Those are the really fun people.
Hi, I'm hoping to marry an after-dinner mint. You don't want that.
Well, but, I mean, what I don't understand is, like, how they can actually prove whether or not somebody's... Because isn't one that the classic thing that people put photos that aren't really themselves?
And then you show up and could still be fat.
Right.
What are they going to do? Ask for their $4.95 back?
Right.
Somebody's
looking for a way to make a quick app
extra
hit.
Extra buck.
A little extra buck.
And it's news. It makes them sound, but it makes them sound
can't
hip.
Can't you just look at the picture and, like, not respond to it?
Yeah, exactly. So why would you pay to not have this in your feed?
Right.
Because to be fair... If you're going to eliminate all of the misfit toys on an online dating site, there's going to be nobody on the site.
Nobody left.
It's just going to be you.
That's crazy.
It says the site offers 10 body type choices, beginning at thin and rating to average, a little extra, full figured, overweight, and even used up. What does used up mean? Does that just mean skanky?
Yeah.
Used up.
I guess.
Overweight, a little extra, full figured, yeah. Used up as a body type. It says if you don't like anyone larger than average, you can filter them out. Or if you're into chubby prospects, you can filter everybody else at. Also, you could say fatties only. That works.
All right.
It's not... I don't want anything to be... I don't like when society discriminates against the chubby chick, because the chubby chick's the best chick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's where I have a bone to pick with a chubby chick. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
This is where I get mad at black dudes, okay? Because, you know, like, we know a lot of black dudes. There's a popular connotation of black dudes banging fat white girls.
Yeah.
Have you ever come across a fat white girl who should not have remotely as much attitude and self-esteem as she does? I mean, she clearly didn't get it from a white dude, is what I'm saying. A black dude gave her that because girls walk through the hood, get hit on 1,000 times. You could be a 400-pound girl.
Yeah.
If you live on 155th and Broadway, you're getting hit on 23 hours a day.
Yeah.
And that girl becomes like the sassy, cool, hot chick that's dismissive of a guy like us.
Right.
Because she got her hands on some self-esteem she doesn't deserve.
So you've come across this and felt the sting.
Not this. Yeah, I've seen it on the street.
Oh, okay.
I've seen last night. Where was I? Two nights ago, me and Pat were outside the comic strip talking to Jonathan Randall. Richie, the owner, came out. This girl came walking by us in front of the comic strip. Somebody said something to her, not in our group, but one of the guys drinking out front. And she gave him a and walked away. And the guy was like a skinny, presentable, decent-looking guy. She was applying for statehood. Down at the post office.
Right.
And decided she was too good looking for the dude.
Right.
And I know she didn't get that from a white dude.
Do you think she genuinely felt she was too good looking?
Yes.
Or really?
It was sassy. It wasn't like, oh, stop it. Because you know some people appreciate the come on and but still dismiss it because it's a sidewalk and it's creepy.
Right.
But no, she was sassy.
Uh-huh.
Like, you ain't getting this.
Wow.
And I'm talking, a pulling guard.
Right.
I'm talking
right.
Like if she's on a ball team, she's not wearing a skill position number like 81 or 7.
Right.
She's wearing like 75,
mm-hmm.
92.
Yeah.
Kind of chick I like.
Ahab came following after
Ahab
her.
Ahab was right behind her.
So I don't want
you to discriminate against the chub. I also don't want the chub to think it's too good.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's totally fair.
It says, OKCupid.
It don't make no motherfucking sense.
Oh, man. OKCupid said singles are going to size up their date prospects according to what they consider physically attractive. So the site is doing nothing different from what goes on in bars and clubs. Exactly. They're just
taking
money and making headlines.
They're doing nothing different than what happens on the site.
Yeah, there's nothing. The site does nothing.
It's nothing different.
Nothing than what's already out there.
Zero.
Outraged critics said the body type filter is a form of online discrimination. Now, they can shut up, too.
Who are the outraged critics?
I don't know. Who's
outraged?
Here you go. One OKCupid user, Alana Massey, 28.
Massey?
Oh, yeah, I know. Massey. She weighs 325 pounds. Why would she be so mad? It says, how you self-identify on the site and how you're going to be perceived on your date by your date is going to be a point of potential insecurity. But that's already the case. They're already going to look at your appearance and make a decision.
Yeah.
The point is, and you articulated it best, they're basically charging OKCupid $5 to $10 extra a month to do nothing.
Here's the other thing.
To do what you're doing yourself.
They're the ones who put the story out.
Yeah.
Okay. They're the ones who created the controversy.
Of course.
Because it actually isn't a real controversy.
Makes them a little more, yeah, a little more interesting of a talking point.
Yeah. That person probably works for OkCupid.
That's what I'm thinking.
It's a complete nonsense story.
You thinking even the Massey chick works for OkCupid?
Yes.
That could be ever.
And I think it's funny that her name's Massey.
Okay.
That sounds like some clever person came up with that.
Come up with let's make her sound chunky.
This whole story
is
nonsense.
It can't be Brianne Chunky.
Right.
That sounds too on the nose.
They laughed. They fist bumped. Massey. Her name's Massey, and she's angry about them saying about
Here's
five
the
people.
Co-founder of the site, Sam Yagan. Okay, he gave a speech.
Okay, let's hear what he has
Sam,
to say.
They trotted Sam out to the podium.
Mr. Yagan.
There's a co-founder of the site. You don't push him out to the podium unless somebody ordered a code red.
Founder Yagan.
Founder Yagan.
That's what they call him if he was running for president. They'd call him Founder Yagan. You know how they have to give everybody a title?
Yeah, Senator so-and-so.
Founder Yagan, especially like a congressman who's been in Congress for like 40 years. They're like, Congressman so-and-so. Ambassador so-and-so.
Still more credible at a debate than Kucinich or Sharpton. Here we go. It says, the idea that it is somehow pejorative, I think, just doesn't hold water, just by the fact that people are choosing to self-identify that way. I think it is an obvious feature of a dating site, which it is, which it's going on. My bone of contention here, if there's any, is that they're actually not doing anything. This is just good marketing by them. They're not providing anyone with a service that they're not already fulfilling themselves.
Absolutely.
If you don't like a certain body type, you're already filtering it out of your searches.
Totally.
You're looking at it and moving on.
Yep.
So it's just a ruse by them. Mm-hmm. It says the used up category is apparently for people who don't take the body type issue all that seriously. I don't know what that means. And if you don't want to be typecast, you can just leave the space blank. The monthly fee varies according to age, length of membership, and OkCupid, and yes, body type.
Okay.
So they're charging you more for a different body type? What does that even mean? That's just ridiculous.
Oh, man.
Go out to a bar. You know, I have no respect for online dating, because when I was single, you had to lie right to the woman's face.
Right.
There was no hiding behind an avatar,
right,
pretending you were in the CIA. You had to be spontaneous on the spot, in the moment.
Yeah.
You had to be there.
Yeah.
Now you're hiding, you're photographing yourselves from the right angles, lighting them and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Now it's a friggin' James Cameron movie.
Right.
A dating site. That's what courtship is in 2013.
It's a catalog.
Get out there. Yeah, it's exactly what it is.
It's a catalog. It's a people catalog.
It's so soulless.
Yeah.
Because you are looking at a people catalog.
And, like, the truth is that people who get together usually do it out of chemistry more than anything.
Yes.
It really is. It's about chemistry. It's about, you know.
And I don't know if you find that
connection is
by looking at the genome or algorithm on a website.
Although, there are a lot of people who I know who've actually gotten married off of this thing.
I know a Match.com couple that Jenny makes cakes for that are married, that are a pretty happy couple.
Yeah, so maybe it does work.
It might.
You know what? What do we know?
What do we know?
We don't even know if there's a Bigfoot.
But we're covering it.
Yeah.
We covering it like they is. A couple quick ones. We got to bring on the... Bring on the Fink man. He's
in studio
now. This day in history, 1995, the jury in the O.J. Simpson murder found the former football star not guilty of the 1994 slayings of his former wife, Nicole Brown Simpson. Where were you?
Where was I?
Yeah.
I was at home. Is this when that was?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I know what I was doing.
I was at home. I actually don't remember. I was in high school, right?
I was at Nassau Community College taking a class called History of Rap Music. Myself and Paris Boris were the only white kids in the class. They had rolled in a TV on a cart so we could watch the verdict live. And there was no one in that room rooting any harder for OJ than I was.
Oh,
I was
wow.
Please get off. Please get off. Please get off. Because I thought they were going to riot because they were all looking at us.
Oh, man. Because
if you don't think that case was racially divisive, and I'll say something else. I mean, it was pretty crazy. But I'll say something else, man. You know, he shouldn't have killed him. You know how Chris Rock says, like, I ain't saying he didn't do it, but I understand. He was antagonized pretty badly. It's like your woman, your money, your car, banging another dude in your house. I'm not saying he should have killed her.
Right. Your blood, yes. Your DNA.
Your DNA.
You know, they really framed the guy.
Your
you know
clothes
what I mean?
At the airport.
Your highway chase and, you know what I mean?
They really went out of their way.
They really gave the guy a hard time. You're right.
This one's brought to you by the Bush Knocked Down the Towers people.
Right.
But I get his anger. But, I'll never forget it. I was the only white kid in a classroom with Paris Boris, and we literally, I remember her saying to me, like we both gulped and looked at each other before they read the verdict. Like
right.
A girl I had no friendship with, like, but I kind of casually knew her. And like they walked up to the podium, the jury foreman pulled out the envelope, and I was like, "I love you." She was like, "I love you too." It was like the end of the perfect storm. I was like, "We had a good run, Skip."
Yeah.
And then they were like, "Not guilty." And I did the dance from the end of The Jerk. We danced on the porch for about an hour and a half. It was a good one. What else went on? Oh, in 2003, a tiger attacked Roy Horn of Siegfried and Roy during a performance in Las Vegas, leaving the super illusionist in critical condition on his 59th birthday.
Ah, play with wild animals, and you risk getting your head bitten off.
Do you remember that story?
It's simple logic.
They tried blaming it on a woman's hairspray. The animal smelled the unique hairspray that led her to believe Roy was under attack, so to protect him, they bit him.
Yeah. They've got this.
Go ahead, Ken. You got something?
No, tigers actually are driven crazy by the smell of alcohol. So
is that true? And there was alcohol in the hairspray?
Yeah, it's very possible.
All right. Well, way to go.
Did you hear them talk about it?
Who? The tigers?
Ooh, Siegfried and Roy.
Yeah.
It's the white tiger.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a vicious animal.
Yeah.
It's not. They have all some hairspray from somebody.
They have all those videos. Yeah, I remember he was yelling, "Don't
so
kill
stupid.
The tiger."
I can't believe it.
Don't kill the tiger. That's so funny.
It's a beautiful animal.
You could argue that it could be a bad. That's so funny.
So stupid. Silly cat.
You could argue that it'd be a more popular show if you were just feeding people in Vegas to white tigers.
Right, right.
There's an argument for that, too. That went on. A couple more quick ones, and then we'll bring on the Fink Man real fast. Al Sharpton, 59 today.
Today's his birthday?
59.
Oh, yeah.
To the Reverend Al. He is celebrating.
Big Al.
He is celebrating with a prostitute in her early 20s.
Yeah.
His girlfriend's like 19.
Uh-huh.
He's doing it right, Big Al.
He is.
He did manage to lose 100 pounds and lose worse and look worse, though.
Yeah, he did.
But it's just important to note. And joining us now to weigh in on this, you got a minute. You got a minute. This guy is the senior ambassador to Al Sharpton. He is a GOP strategist and a huge fan of the good Reverend. Please welcome a gentleman I know as you know them and love him as the Fink Man. Dave Finkelstein. How you doing, champ?
I'm okay.
And it's great to see you. Reverend Al is 59.
That's a tragedy. I thought he was at least 65.
You thought he was older than that?
We might have 25 more years of that piece of crap.
He's got a book coming out. I got to compete with Reverend Al on the shelves. Do you know that?
Yes, I do.
He's got a book coming out telling like his...
Well,
I read the excerpt in the Post yesterday, excuse me, in the Daily News, about the Tawana Brawley summary, and he really, really... Remember the Seinfeld episode, Yada, Yada, Yada?
Uh-huh.
He really yada, yada, yada's the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I learned a lot from it. I learned not to get personal. Instead of getting into the facts and the evidence, it became personal between me and the guy, and that's all he says, which is very convenient.
Uh-huh.
Well, Jimmy, as a good friend of yours, I'm going to help you out with you competing.
All right, relax with the good friend stuff.
Okay. So
back it up. Let's back that up.
Who helps kill time on your two-hour broadcast.
That I can
take. I am going to go into every bookstore and do one of my famous tricks. I'm going to take every book of his and turn them backwards and then put another book in front of it.
You're going to do that?
I'm going to do that for you.
You're that mad at the good Reverend?
I am. And you know why he's doing the yada yada? Because our friends at the New York Post, the world's greatest newspaper, which you think has been too tough on Obama the last few years, they actually tracked Miss Brawley down. And now thanks to the good people at the Post, that lying B.I., you'd get to figure the yada yada yada.
Uh-huh.
She's getting her wages garnished because she doesn't pay her lawsuits the same way Reject Al doesn't pay his taxes and doesn't pay his legal settlements against Pagonis, the prosecutor whose life he ruined.
You're a punk faggot. Now come on, do something.
Wow. That's the Al Sharpton clip from when he got beat up.
Guy ran for president.
He ran for president. A guy who got beat up on the Morton Downey Jr. show.
Yes,
you remember
by
that?
My hero, Nigel Innes.
Your hero?
Threw him backwards. He's one of my heroes, absolutely. There's also the one where he said, I'm not dealing with no Greek homos or the Jews, or do you think David Dinkins is the only N in this city who can talk? That tape's a good one, too.
He
I would
said
look that?
That
one.
Oh, we got to get that audio.
Oh, yeah. It's all in one audio. Greek homos who built the pyramids. We did that. Some shots at the Jewish diamond merchants. And do you think David Dinkins is the only N in this town?
That's just how white folks will do you.
That's unbelievable,
right.
Fink Man.
Yep.
Singer Gwen Stefani is 44. Do you have strong feelings about her? Is this
no.
okay?
I think her career's a little over.
I thought she was older than that. Do you know that? I mean, they were really happening
well,
when I was
a lot of people lie about their age.
Yeah, she's 56.
She's been around a good 18 years.
She's probably 50.
Tommy Lee is 51.
She's still married to the guy from Bush?
Yeah, you got it. That's a weird one. You know, like celebrity couples get married and one of them like skyrockets and leaves the other one. Like Reese Witherspoon and Ryan Phillippe are a good example.
Yeah,
they made that ridiculous Cruel Intentions movie.
Oh, right, right.
Remember that movie?
Yeah.
They were married. They were like a hot happening young couple. But then one of you gets a bump. And you just leave, you know, the other one you just kind of stop talking to.
Yeah.
Not like the couple you were just talking about, OJ and Nicole, where he said, you know, that woman, I paid for everything on her body, including her chest.
And did he buy her breast, too?
Absolutely. That was his rationale for killing her. Oh, I paid for everything on that woman, jewelry, clothes, necklace, breasts.
Are you trying to say this was a recoup?
Yes.
This was not if the glove doesn't fit?
Wow.
No.
This was a return policy?
Well, speaking of guys who are dead, thank God. Instead of talking about birthdays, let's talk about people who are dead, which is a good thing. Johnny Cochran.
Yeah, oh yeah, you're not a Johnny Cochran guy.
You intentionally get a guy off who you know is guilty and inflame racial tensions. It was a very good day when Johnny Cochran died, a young man.
Plus, oh, wow.
The
God.
Idiot
oh, my God.
You know, we have some idiots running for mayor, libs in this town, who I'm sure we'll get into later on. You want to talk about some other lib morons? How about the idiots who run the city of Los Angeles, who name a freaking elementary school after Johnny Cochran?
Is that true?
Yes. There's an elementary school after a guy who intentionally cleared the murderer of two people.
Now, it's L.A. To be fair, they went cinematic. It's actually called Jackie Childs because of the Seinfeld.
Right. Yeah,
look
right.
it up. It exists. It's there.
Wow. Is that true? They named a school after Johnny Cochran.
They did.
Well, I mean, you could argue that he's probably inspirational to people in the black community. I mean, he rose from some inner city squalor to a national prominence.
You're teaching second grade. Some kid asked you, Mr. Fela, why is our school named after Johnny Cochran? Uh-huh. Because he got a guy who was a good tailback off for double murder. So he became famous. That's why we named the school after him, little Jimmy. So one day, if you want to commit murder, you can find Johnny Cochran Jr. and have him help you get off for committing two murders.
The thought of you teaching, like, first grade is amazing.
Fink.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm down.
But I mean, Fink,
is there a part of you?
Yeah.
Do you remember how your boy Mike Huckabee once said he pardoned
I don't really like Huckabee.
All right.
Yeah, he pardoned the guys because they found Jesus and they went and killed people. I don't get down with those kind of Republicans.
Just back off.
Haley Barbour did the same thing. If I see him on the street, he's in trouble.
Haley Barbour's got it coming to him from the Fink
man. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the guy works in the yard at the Mississippi governor's mansion. He committed murder, so we're going to pardon him. I'm not down with that stuff.
Somehow every Thursday when you come on, I turn into Mean Gene Okerlund.
Yeah.
I hand you the mic and it, well, you know Mean Gene. What I was going to say is he pardoned Keith Richards. And one said, if you could play guitar like Keith Richards, you deserve to be pardoned too. Is there a part of you that thanks OJ for the level of tailback that he was, for the performance he turned in the Naked Gun series, should be exempt?
No.
You don't think Nordberg should be exempt? I mean, those are good movies. How old were you when the Naked Gun came out?
8.
You were 8?
I think I was 89, yeah.
So this had to be your favorite movies of all time.
I love
slapstick,
the Naked
double
Gun.
Entendre jokes at the age of 8. You had to be rooting for Cochran. No. Really?
No.
Listen,
all right,
Jimmy, you take a chance getting up and walking across the street every day in the morning.
Hey,
sticking your face in the fan.
Everybody stop. I was trying to break him. I was trying to see if
there
was something
there. I know. I see you trying to break him.
I respect you, Fink. I respect you. You're the genuine article. Hold on. Tommy Lee's 51. You don't care about that.
No, I was a crew fan.
He's 51?
Yeah.
So he was like a young guy when they were at the height of when Motley Crue was at the height
Absolutely.
Of their fame.
Ironically, he shares a birthday with Pam's tits.
Oh, wow.
Pam's tits turned 22 the same day he turned 51.
God.
That's
a lot of
nice.
Fake boob talk between Nicole Brown and Pamela.
This is a serious news show.
Yes.
It's a big, fat, big titted hit.
Lindsay Buckingham, Fleetwood Mac, 64.
Ooh, who cares about that?
Nobody.
Let's lead on to the next story.
Nobody. That was, how they
I don't
got
even think the people she knows cares.
That's funny. She got three Facebooks.
I mean, there's at least two members of Fleetwood Mac that didn't even call her today.
Oh, well, not even close. Yeah, 64 is longevity for the type of drugs they ingested.
Didn't one of them die in a plane crash?
What?
In fairness, didn't one of them die in a plane crash?
Yo, why you got to fact check the joke, Fink?
Yeah, man.
Come on, man. Why you got to be standards and practices?
Yeah, man. Don't get in the way of the flow, man.
Fink, do I owe you money from the football pool? Tell me what I owe you.
You owe me.
Let's do this on the air.
Yo, man, pay my man right
now.
Well,
I'll let the listeners know that in the last 2 weeks, I'm 21-8 in games that don't involve
Fink, this is not a gambling infomercial.
Yo,
where you put up an 800 number.
Come on,
I am one of the nation's top handicappers in the last 2 weeks. There's no doubting that.
Fink.
Throw that man that Andrew Jackson.
Yes.
Does 22 American cover it?
I don't think so, but I'll take it.
Hold on a second. I owe you $14.50.
Yes.
I owe your guy $8.33. So yeah. $22.80. I actually owe you 80 cents.
I'll take it.
All right. Well, I'll give you the 80 out of the change cup, Fink. You see that dollar right there? That's for you. How about that? Cash and prizes on the Off the Meter show. They win money on this show. Parting shot, Fink, because we got to go to break.
No.
No parting shot. You just take the money and run. You don't want to tout your handicapping services?
Well, I'm not giving my picks away for free.
Fink, man.
When you're right, 68% of the time, you're wrong 32%. People don't like it. That's tough.
Wow.
Fink, man. He's been called the Johnny Cochran of radio guests. We're always happy to have him on.
I love his exit music.
Oh, the Mexican hat dance? Yeah. It's the Fink Man. Come by next week and hang out, even if I don't owe you money.
Oh, I'm going for
we got Daniel Linus in studio. Things are going on this show. Yeah? So, yeah, come by next week, would you please?
I don't know who Daniel Linus is, but I'm sure he's real good for the audience out there.
He's sitting behind you on the Foodtown. How about you go get acquainted because we got to go to break. Stick around the rest of the way. Because the party's just starting.
Uh-huh.
They're shooting at the Capitol. Nero fiddled. We're laughing.
Right.
You know, while Nero fiddled. I think in the modern incarnation, the fall of America, it would be Nero masturbated because
sure.
of online porn.
Yeah.
Really not a good sign for the union. But we got to go to break. When we come back, Daniel Linus in the building.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
If you're an entrepreneur looking to start your own business or expand an existing business, but you don't know which local politicians and union bosses you need to bribe, then it's about time you call the good folks at Bureaucracy Bypass and race to the front of the line. Bureaucracy Bypass has helped thousands of would-be business owners, just like yourself, determine exactly who to take to the Palm Steakhouse and supply with hookers in order to get land rezoned, taxes abated, and operating licenses swiftly granted. Don't waste another minute buying plane tickets for some bozo who claims to be tight with your county executive. Get Bureaucracy Bypass and bypass the bureaucracy.
Black Jesus.
Coming to you live from New York City, it's the Off the Meter radio program. Jimmy Fallon, Dean Imperial, reminding all the comedy enthusiasts in the audience, get down to the Red Hot Dominican College in Orangeburg, New York tonight.
Yeah, find out where it is.
Find out. I actually GPS'd it this morning.
What is a Dominican college, though?
I got to be honest with you. I don't know what the major is. I was guessing it was a Jesuit school, but I put it in my GPS, and the coordinates the GPS spit out were, fire your agent. They didn't actually give any type of direction. They just said, lose hope. Go find your taxi license,
right.
You mook. If that doesn't work, of course, I will be at the world-famous Lippy's Comedy Club in Binghamton, New York this weekend.
Uh-huh.
Rochester Institute of Technology Saturday. The point is, I get the hot gigs.
I get it.
That's what I'm saying.
I get it.
So you might want to come by and have a piece of that.
Sure.
Joining us now in studio, now this is a guy doing grown-up show business.
Uh-huh.
He's working with Skrillex, ASAP Rocky, ASAP Ferg. He owns all of their CDs, this guy. Now, he's... This guy's a real player. He is Daniel Linus. How you doing, champ?
I'm doing well.
Studio audience applauds your arrival. I heard you saying before you put on the cans that you've never done any type of radio before.
Never have.
You are going to fit in so well with this level of broadcast.
I can't wait.
It almost makes you overqualified.
You qualify as a host, actually.
Yeah, you can actually take over. Like, if one of us were to drop dead in the presidential command, who's the guy after the vice president? Speaker of the House.
Speaker of the
then
House.
Then it's the something
then
pro temp.
The pro tempore.
The pro tempore. You're the pro tempore of Off the Meter right now, and we thank you for coming
in. Are
either
of you ill or anything? Or is anything going to happen on this show right now? Or
well,
we'll be all right.
That's a long story.
It's a whole sordid affair.
Yeah.
Let's not go into it. Let's just hope for the best.
Good God. It's nice to see you.
Thank you. It's nice to be here. Actually, you guys were talking about birthdays a little bit earlier, and I wanted to mention that it's actually A$AP Rocky's birthday today. It's also A$AP Lou's birthday and A$AP Ty Beats. They all share the same birthday. So,
wow, how did that happen?
What? I'm not sure.
Are they the same guy? Is this like wrestling where the guy wrestles then comes back with a mask?
Actually, all of the dudes in A$AP are all the same dude.
It's just one A$AP, right? One. That makes sense. Yeah. That's efficient.
Actually, all rappers are the same dude.
It's one guy?
Yeah. It's all one guy.
And it's all me, actually, too.
And he's the guy. He's a voiceover expert.
Wow, you fooled me.
This is
that's
good. It's actually all plugins, you know, so once you get in the studio, it's
right.
A lot of auto-tune in this man's life.
Oh, yes. Got it.
You're a New York guy. You grew up here. You grew up where? In Brooklyn or Manhattan?
83rd and Broadway.
Yeah. Arthur's Deli.
Also known as No Bar, north of Zabar's.
Is that what they call that?
That's what my dad calls it.
That's great.
That's genius.
It's not that great.
Arthur's Deli.
You go to Arthur's Deli?
I don't, actually. No.
Is that true? How about Big Nick's?
I used to go to Big Nick's until it closed recently.
It closed?
Yeah, I'm sorry to break the news.
Oh, my God.
I've decided to kill myself. I'm going to blow my brains out right on this program.
When did that happen?
I'm also mad as hell. I'm not going to take it anymore.
This guy, he gets a network reference.
Oh, you're a movie guy, right?
Think about this guy.
You know, I don't have a great memory for movies, but every once in a while, I rewatched Network recently, and it's such a great movie.
Great movie.
Thank you for that. If you're just joining us, Daniel's referring to a audio drop we just played from the movie Network.
Yes.
Sidney Lumet directed it.
Peter Finch played Howard Beale.
Howard Beale. He's mad as hell. He's not going to take it anymore.
Yep.
So when you got mad as hell and you decided you were going to make some moves, you went into the recording studio. Did you grow up a big music fan? How did this work?
Yeah, I was actually an opera singer when I was younger.
Is that true?
From the age of 8 until the age of 16.
Uh-huh.
I was a boy soprano for many years, and then my voice changed, and I was like, wait a second, what am I doing?
You got menudoed out of the opera?
Not quite, actually. Well, when I left the opera, I thought that I didn't want to be involved in music at all because everyone that I'd ever been around was totally miserable.
Uh-huh.
There are a lot of young, like, opera singers who hadn't quite made it yet, which is basically the worst thing in the world.
and I thought
that's what music was like, and it basically is, but, you know, it actually gets a little bit better.
Wow, that's insane. Well,
do you still have it in you? Like, could you pipe out opera on command if you wanted?
Probably my vocabulary, my Italian vocabulary would get in the way a little bit.
Oh, okay. But you got that opera in you. You could bust it out if you needed
to. Every once in a while,
in emergency situations.
I don't sing that much anymore. I don't really have that much opportunity to, but I still love to sing. But
that's cool.
Opera is not really my bag anymore. It's still, you know.
Well, I mean, no. Yeah. And in the spirit of you liking to sing, maybe you can belt something out after you leave here today.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Once I leave, I think.
It's giving you a hard time. Just joining us, Daniel Linus in studio at 855-236-2280. So from opera to rap, you have a rap palette? Do you like rap, or is that just the assignment and you take it?
Well, it's a little bit of both. I think that at one point in my life, I was really, really into rap music. And during high school, when I found out about it, I was like, oh, my God, this is so cool. And then as I started to become the rap guy in New York City, I realized that pretty much anyone can be a rapper and that not everyone should be. and so I definitely had a lot of experiences with people where I'd be in the studio like, they'd be like, yeah, you fucking with this? And I'd be like, no, like,
not
it's
really
terrible. So
it's half the gig.
Yeah, well, like I said, there are a lot of rappers in New York City, so they pay the bills.
Uh-huh.
Some of them are very talented. Uh-huh. Some of them are really nice to work with. Some of them are one or the other, and most of
them
are neither.
How much weed is in the average rap recording studio?
Well, mine a lot, usually. I mean, you know, like people are free to smoke weed in my studio because that's kind of the vibe. But, you know, I don't keep it there or anything.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's just supply.
It's trying to
bring their own.
All really good stuff.
Yeah. Well, when it's the big guys, I mean, it kind of depends on the client also. People are, it's BYO weed, you know?
Yeah. Oh, okay. But let me ask you a question. Do you know, based on which rapper is coming in, the quality of weed in your life that day?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, so-and-so is coming.
Yeah.
Because here's
the
thing with me and weed. I don't do a lot of drugs.
Mm-hmm.
But I choose to do them based on my appraisal of the people offering them to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I sometimes see people like, and I look at them and I go, there's no way I could smoke what that guy smokes. Like, you can see how beat up and bugged out and shaky the guy is, and you know that's a gamer.
Yeah.
And you can't take that type of dosage.
Yeah. I have been inundated with the best stuff at this point, so I can still do my job while.
Do they have names? What's the best stuff's names? What are
some
of the names?
I got some stuff called Kosher Kush recently from our Jewish.
Is that like the best? Is it kosher? A rabbi blessed it?
I'm not sure if it was blessed, but, you know, it's in the spirit of
okay.
Sour diesel.
They have some of that, yeah.
Does Sour Diesel still exist?
Yes, it does, yeah. I mean, you know, pretty much anything that ever has existed is still in the lexicon. Well, let me ask you this.
Is any of it really different, or is that just good marketing by them?
I can't tell, usually, when I'm stoned.
I know, right?
It's just clever marketing. You give it a name.
You know, there's the difference
between... I got some Black Galaxy.
Exactly. You know what I mean? It's just the difference between, like, the Harax and the Mids.
Disney
and
on Ice.
Right. This is called The Eagle Has Two Heads.
Exactly. Anything that has a good name is probably good weed.
Yo, you smoke Seven Dwarfs? Yo, I can't be fucking with that Seven Dwarfs, good. Man. You're going to get a dude locked up. You know what I'm saying?
I was in a session yesterday, and someone asked me if I had that Lord of Mercy. And I was like, is that just like a general description of the weed?
Lord of Mercy? Because, oh,
you know, he was laid out at the end of the session.
I'll have some of that Pieta.
Requiem.
I don't know why it strikes me as a good weed, but Empire Strikes Back sounds like a good
oh,
weed.
That sounds really
yo,
good.
Yo, you got that Empire Strikes Back?
Oh, man.
That I would smoke. Yeah. What else would you smoke? Let's have some fun.
I don't know. I hope the Dope Lord is listening.
Nat,
right
do you have
now,
something?
So can...
Nat is standing.
Booker Nat Tazen here. Hello, Radio Land. I was speaking to a friend who, let's say, maybe sells drugs the other day, and he said, yo, man, I got those Girl Scout cookies.
Oh, man.
And he goes, no, it's weed. And I said, do you know where to get real Girl Scout cookies? And he goes, no, man, no one can find that shit.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Girl Scout cookies.
Girl Scout cookies.
That one I've heard before. When I was in California, they sold me some oil that was distilled from Girl Scout cookies.
Oil? No, they didn't.
I'd like to
you
smoke
paid
something.
For that. Yeah, exactly. You didn't actually receive that.
I'd like to smoke Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil.
That's long.
This was actually purchased from the Apple Store of weed in California, which is a dispensary called
You
want to
know something?
Yo, you want to smoke some of this Last Temptation of Christ?
You want to know the best?
I think it works well off actors and failed candidates.
Yeah.
Let me get a dime bag of that Dukakis.
Yeah, right.
Mondale is good weed.
Oh, that's
smoking
crazy.
That Bob Dole. I'm on that Bob Dole.
Oh, man.
That's funny. Stop smoking that Jerry Ford and get your ass over my house. Stuff like that. I don't know.
Gary, that's it. We're suing. What? We're going to sue.
You're just joining us. Daniel Linus in studio. 855-236-2280.
You got any of that grassy knoll?
That's a
yo,
great
give me
one.
A piece of that grassy knoll.
I think you guys are in the wrong industry, perhaps.
Yeah, no.
not just because you can come up with good names for weed.
That's so funny. Grassy knoll.
Grassy knoll
is good weed. That's
good the best
weed name.
That's the best weed you could get, man.
Oh, my God. You want to know something? If you had a weed called U-Porn, people would get excited.
Oh, absolutely. Because
there was
something seductive
about that.
Sure.
You wouldn't say seductive necessarily.
You got some of that U-Porn.
Yeah.
What else? I don't know. I mean, the horse has been dead a while now, but we're beating it.
You could beat it back to
you
life,
can
though.
Re-beat it back to life. We just dug for 8 feet just to punch the horse in the face one more time. Now we're reburying it again. This poor horse. A couple other things while we got you here. So you co-founded the studio how long ago?
I wouldn't say that I co-founded. Well,
Nat would. So
yeah,
elaborate.
Well, Nat is a known liar.
fits in great here.
Known charlatan. He fits in great.
I'm happy to continue the lie. I've created a lot of things, actually.
All right. Straight.
So basically once I left college... I went to school for recording engineering, and then I kind of I couldn't find an unpaid internship, which was actually ended up being better for me because I've got the keys to a studio that had gone under, and I stole the name. It was called Wonderful Music, and I became Wonderful Recording, and I started working out of there for 2 years, and then I moved to the space that I'm currently in, where I've been for 2 years. But that place has been around for about 12 years.
Wow, so you made moves.
Some moves.
And now you're on it. So you've been smoking fancy weed for 12 years.
There you go.
I've been smoking fancy weed since I was a freshman in high school, actually.
If you're listening, you started smoking weed as a freshman? That's about accurate.
What's the craziest thing you ever saw in a rap studio?
Well, actually, I was thinking about this story earlier because Nat asked me to kind of have some things in mind. And so one of the
Nat's like, these guys can't really carry a conversation.
Well, he said that if I could...
Do you have a book you could read from on the air?
Preferably be something with a lot of pictures and...
I'll sing some nursery rhymes if you guys want. So basically what happened was this guy emailed me. I put up a Craigslist ad and he emailed me and he said, oh, yeah, I want to come to the studio and lay down some raps. And so he came in, he did an hour's worth of work, and he left. And several days later, he came back while I was in another session. The door was unlocked, and he walked into the studio while I was in another room, picked up three laptops, and walked out.
Craigslist, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, and I no longer post on Craigslist. The only reason I realized this is because he hijacked the Twitter accounts of one of the laptops that he stole.
Wow.
And he changed it to his name and started promoting his rap music on the hijacked Twitter account. So
oh,
the guys,
man,
whose laptops got stolen were like, "Who is this dude Shizzy?"
And I was like, Shizzy.
Shizzy, why? It's like, what? Oh my god, this was the dude who came in. And so, you know, there's this whole debacle, but I think he's actually still at large. So Shizzy, if you're listening, I don't know what to tell you. You're obviously
Shizzy.
Not famous yet.
Shizzy.
So.
Shizzy's making moves, though.
Shizzy, the young rock star. He actually, if you guys want to go to MySpace, you should definitely read his MySpace. It is one of the funniest things on the internet.
Shizzy.
It's half depressing and half amazing.
Can we get him on the show? This guy sounds like an interesting guy.
Yeah, he's you know, just right. Don't let me be here while he's here.
Oh, you guys are mortal enemies.
Well, not mortal enemies, but, you know, I have words that I wanted to say to him.
Uh-huh. What'd you think of the Fink Man, our last guest?
He was intense.
He's the Fink Man.
He's intense, man. He's intense. You think we could throw a beat down under him?
Yeah, actually. Like I said, anyone can be a rapper, but not everyone should. But he definitely
he
should.
Could be a rapper, right?
He could be maybe like a spoken word artist, you know?
Have you ever thought of a way of combining opera and rap? Sampling it?
I have sampled it before.
Does it work? I'm not sure if it works.
There was some famous guy used like a Carmina Burana sample recently. Oh, da, do, da,
oh and did like, yeah, yeah. That's probably played out.
Is
that thing.
Drake?
You know, I can't remember who it was now. You know, honestly, like, combining anything with rap is almost never a good idea. Because rap just poisons and destroys
it's rap.
Is there a rapper, that big, small, whatever, that has a reputation for being like the coolest? Like you know what I mean? Like Snoop Dogg. Is he like the?
You know, I can't really speak to that. Like, I think that all people's on screen personalities and on record personalities don't necessarily translate to the kind of person they are.
Uh-huh.
From personal experience, I can say that Rocky is one of the nicest dudes, not just nicest rappers, but also nicest dudes that I've ever worked with. Very humble, very down to earth, and even after getting a huge record deal, still to this day continues to be one of the nicest, most humble dudes.
That's cool. And thank you for not calling us out on our white guy old rap references.
Right,
is there a really
right.
cool rapper like Grandmaster
Lion.
Flash?
I know, right?
Is Rakim really cool? Luke Skywalker. He must be an awesome guy in the studio.
I actually work with U-God from Wu-Tang.
Where do you guys weigh in on Jam Master Jay?
Right.
Terminator X. Wow.
You know, people in the studio tend to be way chiller than they are on stage and stuff, because when they're on stage,
atmosphere.
They have to be that dude that they're trying to come across as. And when you're in the studio, a lot of the time they're like, oh, does this rap sound okay?
You know what discredits rap to me? Most of rap is made, and I listen to a lot of rap, but most of it's made when they're high. And in my experience, like writing comedy when you're high is the worst thing on earth you could ever do.
Because
they
you
pull
think it's
it
funny
off. Yeah. But I guess because they're not writing for humor, they're writing for imagery.
But the thing is that everyone who's listening to rap is also high. So
that's
like,
true.
Yeah,
so
this
you're
is
cool.
Amazing.
That's
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
You don't really need a logic bridge.
It's like the Beatles. They didn't need to be good.
They're just having a good time.
Right.
They're just having fun in the studio. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, like, I don't give a lot of credit to rap because it's so easy to do. It doesn't require any, like, you know, understanding of music at all. But that being said, there's still people who can do it better than other people, and I still haven't been able to figure out. I've been working on rap for 10 years. I still don't know what makes a good rapper a good rap song, but I hear it, and I'm like, oh, this is cool. This
still
works.
The beat.
Like,
it's still the beat.
It's largely the production. It's a lot of it can just be the cadence. Like, content is practically irrelevant. You know, I mean, obviously, a lot of the stuff that's on the radio is so similar to it.
But I love when they review rap albums, and they're like, yes. He's really saying some different things on this album.
No, he's not.
I'm like, he's fitting whatever rhymed and sounded cool over the beat.
That's
of course.
Everything on the radio, except for you guys, of course.
No, well, we're something
Did
else.
You see that? What was that? That Picasso thing? That
the Jay-Z installation.
Did you see that?
I did. You know.
Oh, God, that was awful. You know.
I don't have a lot of good things to say about that. And also, like, the whole, like, Samsung, the whole Samsung thing.
He's,
I think, you know,
he's
I
an
a
app.
Lot of,
Jay-Z
yeah.
is an app.
He's an app,
Jay-Z
yeah.
Jay-Z is a phenomenon. He is a incredibly talented person. He's got a great ear. He has a lot of great records under his belt.
But, you know, he's a businessman at this point, you know, and for any artist to try to stay relevant
that long
past their prime, it's really super difficult.
Almost impossible.
Yeah. And he is actually extremely relevant, not necessarily as a musician anymore, but, you know, but honestly, I think that rap as a whole genre is kind of played out. It's like, what's next? And everyone's really trying to say, okay, what can we combine rap with to make it interesting? And it's really difficult to come from that angle and try to be like, oh, how are we going to make this old thing new?
Remember they did that dumb thing where they did all the mashups with the rock bands? You know, some of them were good.
Yeah, well, yeah, and there was that whole era of mashups. Yeah, you know,
no, but
Girl Talk and
I even mean like the white bands, like the Limp Bizkits.
Yeah, well,
doing like the white guys rapping with the rock band
like,
behind
them. Let's combine two shitty things and see what happens.
You can put a beat to it.
You can blame Public Enemy because they got bored.
Right.
But they liked all that MTV airplay, so they did Bring the Noise with Anthrax, and it spawned a whole subgenre of that.
Yeah.
The Faith No More's and all
of
those.
What was the first one of that? Was the Run DMC, Aerosmith, Walk This Way?
Linkin Park was like one of the biggest ones that ever did it.
311.
Oh, my God.
Limp Bizkit. Oh, man.
It was none of it was really that great.
I will say this in regards to Public Enemy. Their DJ, Terminator X, that is an amazing weed name.
You wouldn't smoke Terminator X?
Look, man, dude. I'll smoke anything, bro.
That's you. I mean, look at you. You're like a touring funk band. You're
a different animal.
You could have been the Atomic Dog.
I have actually smoked weed with George Clinton.
Of course you have.
From the stage, I passed him.
No, that doesn't impress me. If you would have told me, like, you conversed with him about the debt ceiling, that would impress me. No one has met George Clinton did not smoke weed with George Clinton.
I'm just trying to put it out there, man. George Clinton, if you're listening,
George Clinton is the only man that's ever asked a judge for a light.
Well, at least I didn't share crack pipe with him. So.
Not guilty. Yo, you got a light, by the way. That's too funny.
Well, I believe it was Gucci Mane who asked when he was asked if he was guilty, he said, "Bitch, I might be."
Is that true?
Yeah, oh, my God.
Oh, I respect that.
That's amazing.
That's a different animal. That's a different. All right, a couple more things because we got, you know, bills to pay. Nat Towson's giving me the throat slash gesture behind your back. Get him
right
off so I can get on.
Man, that's so
what are you working on now?
Actually co-producing an instrumental record with Rocky at the moment.
Of course you are.
I just finished Leafs mixtape. Working on some independent indie rock music.
You're making moves. The point is you're making moves.
I'm starting a new company, which is motion picture and music combined.
Oh, okay.
Production label and production house. And
this guy's doing things.
Yeah, man.
Looking for
making
new studio
moves.
Space.
Cool.
This guy's making moves is the point. Daniel Linus. Are we Facebook friends or any of that stuff?
We just became Facebook friends.
Wow, actually. Look at us. We're buddies now.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
You're my newest Facebook friend. You're 1,202.
Of Facebook friends?
Yes.
Wow.
And henceforth, you will be referred to as such.
1202.
That's your name.
I like a good serial number.
1,202.
That's good.
That's good weed.
That's a good number.
That's good weed, man.
There it is.
1202, man.
Come back and hang out sometime.
I would love to.
If you don't OD in your studio.
Yeah. I'm actually half asleep already.
Or get arrested. You don't get arrested in a raid.
Right.
Sounds like you're having some fun.
Yeah. I actually have never touched this stuff in my life. Tried at a party. Wasn't my thing. You know. But crack cocaine. Great.
The man's name is Daniel Linus.
Thanks for having me, guys.
He's very pro-weed.
Yeah.
He's kind of pro rap, kind of.
Kind of.
For the right price, he's pro rap.
Yeah.
Everything's on the table, you know? Come talk to me.
Uh-huh.
All hands on deck. Track him down on Facebook. I'm his friend. So if you can't find him through my feed.
Yeah.
I'm also on Twitter, which is something that you should not follow me on.
Oh, you could follow him on Twitter.
I will follow
you. Do you know how hard I root against Twitter? Like,
no.
I tweet because I have to. It's part of my gig, but I think it's so
pointless.
Yeah,
I went on your Twitter
stupid.
For like 5 seconds. I was like, what is this?
Yeah, this guy doesn't want to be here.
But now that we're Facebook friends, maybe, you know, you could
coerce
me.
Don't try brokering no truce. This is funny.
Well, let's start at Instagram. Maybe we can move.
You and me will collaborate?
Yeah.
All right, there it went.
And Snapchat also.
I shut your mic off 5 minutes ago.
All right.
No, I'm kidding. When we come back, Nat Townsend's in the building against our better judgment.
Feel free to tune out now.
Me and Soul before the album drop. White lessons before I had a deal. X-Bun B about me. This ain't no snapback, I get within trill.
With Jim.
America needs to learn how to lighten up.
Are you being audited by the IRS? Do you owe the IRS more than $15,000? Have you not filed your tax returns in years? Has the IRS recently contacted you at your home or place of business? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you need to know that you are completely and utterly screwed.
This train is a clean train, you know this train. This train is a clean train, I said this train. This train is a clean train, everybody ride it in Jesus' name, because this train is a clean train, Lord, this train.
Coming to you live from New York City, it's the Off the Media radio program, Jimmy Fallon, Dean Imperial. About to be joined in studio. It's like a radio telethon today.
Yeah.
Just a turnstile.
Right.
Just bringing him in, man. 855-236-2280. That's our toll-free number if you'd like to call in and be a part of the show. It's also our number if you would not like to be a part of the show. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to know why.
Sure.
If you're at home right now browsing the web, you can buy my new book, Follow That Car. It's available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. IndieBound, Dean. Largest independent bookseller in the world.
It is.
Yes. So you can get it there as well.
Oh, great. I will. That's where I'll go.
Yeah, because you can pay for it in hemp.
Right.
You know, IndieBound's like one of those things.
Right, right.
Joining
right.
us now in studio, man, we do not pay in hemp. He's not only the booker of this program, but several fantastic programs around the city. The Moon in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Nat Townsend's Downtown Variety Hour.
Yep.
How about that?
How about that?
As good a show as you're going to see. In the five boroughs, if I could weigh
or in.
Or
in these United States.
In these United States.
Continental or whatever.
Come on. This is as good as it's going to be.
As good as it gets.
This gentleman's name is Nat Townsend. How you doing, champ?
Folks, your donation can get Jimmy Fallon the operation he so desperately needs.
Yes.
Please call in now.
No, it is. It's a telethon.
What Thanks for having me,
What
guys.
Operation is that?
They're going to staple my stomach.
This guy's
on the outside.
Yeah, you're going to grow a nose on his forehead. Yeah.
That's going to get the old nose on the forehead. How you living, champ?
Doing all right. I took the train here. Guy had a seizure on my train.
Bastard.
Classic New York moment.
Yep. You were mad at him.
It was one of those things where, you know, you're on the train, your head down, headphones on, also reading, like, how whatever it does to keep the stimulus out of whatever is going on your train. And it's one of those moments where, like, all of a sudden things get very real. The train stops. People are talking in hurried tones. All these, like, they pull the train halfway into the station. Firefighters run on. It's not in my car, but there's a guy apparently having a seizure in the next car, and everyone all of a sudden sort of snaps out of their daily routine. And it's like, wow, you know, a second ago I was so mad that I was going to be late to work or this or that, and like, you know, mad about my commute, and like, this is a guy who could be dying, and we're all like, everyone's gathering around, and they're like, back up, people, and everyone's like, what can we do? Can we help? And it's very serious, and everyone's looking, and you know, I realized like, geez, I was so mad about something, some guy sitting too close to me or something, and here's this could be a man dying.
You have perspective.
Total perspective, totally changes everything. And then the moment that they're like, he's going to be okay, we're taking him to the hospital, I'm like, this son of a bitch is making me late. I can't believe the nerve of this asshole. Like, everyone immediately had the exact same look on their face where they're like, oh my God, I've been waiting for this to get out of here for 25 minutes. Like, where am I? What am I doing?
That's right.
You're only entitled if you die.
No,
maiming
right.
will not be tolerated.
Well, as soon as we knew he was okay, everyone was like, how dare you?
Well, that's like when you hear a siren, too. Every time I hear a siren, I'm like, are you kidding me? Oh my God. But yeah, they have to remind yourself what they're doing.
Yeah. The nerve of these
people. I'm in the back, I'm going to be like, you know, run two sirens.
Yeah. Can we get a double you know siren? I mean? That's funny stuff, man. Nat, I will say this, man. The subway casualty rate is skyrocketing.
Is it really?
Yes, the people jumping in front of trains, getting pushed and stuff like that.
I was in Bay Ridge the other night. It was late. I'm not going to say what I was doing there, but it had something to do with Girl Scout cookies. And I saw two goddamn teenagers. I'm racking them up on the big board.
Yeah.
I saw two teenagers on the opposite side as one of those four-track big stations, and they were sitting with their legs dangling over the side, and I'm looking at them like, these idiots, what are they doing?
Yep.
And I was like, I think I had my headphones on, but I even shouted over to them something like, you know, someone died doing that yesterday, right? Like a station away, and they didn't respond, of course. And then I looked back, and about, you know, half a minute later, and they were climbing up the platform on my side. Like, they had crossed all four tracks, walked through the station, and climbed up on my side.
Okay. Wow. Did you actually shout out to them?
Yeah, I shouted across because they were sitting with their legs dangling over above the tracks. And I said, you know, someone died that way yesterday because it was the day after someone had fallen into the tracks.
Is Nat Townsend a social policeman?
A hero?
Are you one of those guys?
Not typically. Well, I don't know. Like, if someone's standing in front of the door looking at their smartphone when I'm trying to get off the train and they're just standing there, I push that person out of the way.
You touch him.
Oh, I will touch a person.
Spain.
Wow.
The running of the Nats.
But you know, here's the thing. I knew those two teenagers across four subway tracks were not. I'm doing it in the safest way possible, because if you're listening out there on the radio, I'm sure I have a skinny voice on the radio, but you don't even know.
Oh, he's a hulking man. He's a big man.
Exactly. But the point is, I'm not getting myself in any danger, because what I'm banking on is the fact that anyone who's being pushy getting on a train would rather catch their train than start a fight with me. It's like you can be like, get out of the way and elbow someone, and you know once you're two steps past them, if they step towards you, everyone's going to flood onto that train. They might not get on the train.
I'm still impressed that you're saving people sitting on a ledge, because I don't do that unless I know them. I don't want to save them the wrong guy.
I was mad at them, though. I was just like, this is...
That's the dumb thing. It's like if you're driving over the bridge, you see a guy standing on the ledge. Do you stop and help? What if he's a jerk?
Why is he on the ledge? I'd have been like, hey, pal, be careful. Yeah, like, I'd say that maybe. I'd be like, yo, be careful, pal. That's only if the train's like 8 feet away.
The bridge is different because that's like almost that's like the cartoon of what a suicide looks like. On the train, they were trying to be cool. Like, they weren't like, these guys weren't suicidal. They were like doing some kind of
dopey kid. Yeah. He's old man vigilante now. How old are you? 27?
27. It's amazing to me how quickly I went from being a teenager to being mad at teenagers. It was like 4 years.
Elder statesman Townsend.
I was like 23. Right. Like, what are you idiots doing?
Wow.
If you just joined us, Nat Townsend is in the building. So we don't have locks on our studio doors.
And I just told the receptionist I knew where I was going.
Your donation. No, 855-236-2280 is the number. We're rapping about. Nat has a couple of shows coming up. What's going on at the Downtown Variety Hour? When is that? Which Friday is that?
That is tomorrow.
Oh, my God. Come on.
Can you believe it?
Doesn't that sound – it sounds like we choreographed that.
Yeah.
And we are so not – we don't have that type of foresight.
We don't do that kind of prep for the show. Folks, anything – when you listen to Off the Meter, you can know that any true moments that happen on the air are authentic.
Right.
We do not have the foresight or the planning to create them artificially.
So you're on the show.
That's our guarantee to you.
It's tomorrow. Who's on the show tomorrow again?
Tomorrow we have from The Daily Show, also former writer for King of the Hill, Wyatt Cenac. We'll be doing stand-up.
Ooh.
Very funny. One of my favorite comedians. Yeah, he's
excellent.
I love
Wyatt Cenac.
Really funny. Just down-to-earth comedian. Got a great angle on everything. And then the rapper, MC Chris, will also be performing.
Is MC Chris in the building?
MC Chris will be in the building.
How does MC Chris spell Chris?
Regular style.
Okay. Really?
Lowercase C? I think he does MC Chris all lowercase.
Has he ever worked?
You gotta have a style. Yeah, you gotta.
Has he ever worked with Daniel Linus?
I don't know. Daniel Linus, have you ever worked with MC Chris?
Not to my knowledge.
Not to his knowledge. So Chris brought that good.
So a big shout out to MC Chris then.
Right.
Double.
I just was wondering if it was like he's one of those guys that spelled Chris like X. S.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. They got to do that move.
Yeah, people do that. The guys do that.
Like the crisscross K, backwards K.
I like XS as a way of spelling Chris because it's not outside of the realm of plausibility. I could see that. Like, I would need it explained to me, but I'd be like, okay, yeah. Like,
is the S in his name a dollar sign?
Yeah, no, it's not. It's amazing how conventional.
Straight MC Chris.
He's like a white man with a first name. It's very strange.
Wow,
this guy thinks he's third base.
Yeah, anybody can rap. You said anybody can rap.
Anybody.
Well, that is kind of the interesting thing about Chris is that he about MC Chris. I don't think he's signed to. He's put out 8 albums. I don't think he has on a real record label even now. He is one of those like. He's the good version of anybody could be a rapper. He's not really he's like a small white guy with a really small voice like this. Uh-huh. And he just worked on writing lyrics and getting a really good flow early on. And he raps about, like, simultaneously has a sort of, like, gangster rap style, but he's talking about, like, Star Wars or something like that.
Okay.
And, like, I don't love, like, nerd rap or any of that kind of, like, sort of genre-y music. Uh-huh. But he, to his credit, is a guy who was like, this is who I really am, and these are the things I like, and I love rap also, and I want to rap about the stuff that I like. And he made a career for himself just like honing his skill and his own style.
When we come back on the MC Chris Tribute Hour, Nat Towson talks about a challenging childhood. Thanks, pal. No, he's a fascinating guy.
Yo,
shout out to him.
He'd be rapping about Boba Fett.
Yo.
he literally is.
Another good weed name.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's a great weed name.
You got that Boba Fett?
Yo, you got Boba Fett?
That's not bad.
Yo, you can come to my party.
So the Downtown Variety Hour is going good, and I'm glad we were able to ascertain such things. You, the listener, can get tickets to the Downtown Variety Hour by doing what?
Go to UCBtheater.com or east.ucbtheater.com, and it'll be on the calendar for tomorrow. You'll see it right there on the calendar. It's Nat Towson's Downtown Variety Hour. It is tomorrow, Friday, at 7:30.
And if you watch it, you get points off your license.
Exactly.
It's like a community service outreach he does for the community.
Oh,
yeah,
great.
It's funded by the
You can write it off.
Yeah, he
yeah,
gives
you can write it off.
He'll give you college credit. You can do
right.
a lot of things.
Yeah.
Depending on which online college you attend.
Right.
No, Nat can hook a brother up. Let's play a round of Believe It or Not. If you're new to the show, chances are you are new to the show because no one listens twice. What Dean and I like to do at some portion of our show is we like to share rumors that were heard in the back of New York City taxis with you, the listener.
Mm-hmm.
And we cannot impress upon you enough the fact that they are rumors. We don't know that they're true. The only thing we can do is give you the story. And as we give it to you, we will share our sentiments, our opinion of the story. For instance, yesterday, someone told us about a contentious battle involving a sex tape that Anne Hathaway was purportedly on. We discussed this at great length and concluded that it wasn't a true story. Okay? But these are the kind of things we're talking about.
Right.
We're talking about things being
potentially true. Just so we're clear, the Anne Hathaway sex tape does not exist.
I know, right?
Okay. Yeah, does not exist.
What a bummer.
Okay.
However, the Captain Lou Albano sex tape. No, I'm kidding.
Right. Now you're speaking my language.
Yo, now that's some serious weed.
Oh,
yo, you got the Captain Lou?
That Captain Lou
you
sex
got that
tape.
Paisano?
Paisano. This is an interesting rumor, Dean. I've told you about Big Mike before. Big Mike is a 55-year cab driver.
Yeah.
He used to, back in the days of off-track betting, begin his shift by driving to off-track betting and gambling.
Does off-track betting not exist anymore?
Not really. And if he won, he wouldn't drive his cab. And if he lost, he'd go drive his cab for the night and make back the gambling losses.
Right.
He had some other type of disability pension. So he had some fixed income, but he's always managed to keep driving a cab for 55 years.
Uh-huh.
Older gentleman, but a gentleman I deem credible despite the fact that he sleeps at the taxi garage year-round.
He does?
Oh, he does. He sleeps on a picnic table in the locker room.
I think, if anything, that increases his credibility to me.
Yeah, he's That's, a sage.
Yeah, you know, like a musician who sleeps in the studio. It's just like he's as authentic as you can get, right? Like the man's dedicated.
Okay. So there was this huge, huge amount of attention devoted to Cory Booker, the mayor of Newark last week.
Yeah.
Because he's been publicly like flirting with some hot stripper chicks on Twitter. I don't know if you've seen any of this, but he's out in the open about it.
Tweets.
He's above board. He's not doing an Anthony Weiner where he's sexting them. He's above board in that he is constantly in contact with one of these women. Well, in any event, Big Mike is a very astute guy, 55-year guy. He's perceptive. He reads the news. He makes faces. Claims that he picked up the one African-American woman who was in the Daily News, who was featured. She was interviewed in front of Rock Center on Tuesday. She was interviewed in front of Rock Center talking about her Twitter dalliances with Cory Booker, and heard her saying to her press flack in the car, they were discussing the fact that it's all a beard for Cory Booker. That's what they're saying. She was saying, like, she's actively paid to be flirting publicly with Cory Booker because his sexuality has been questioned a lot in the past because he's single, perpetually single. And they say single is just, like, a really unappetizing thing to be as a guy who aspires to higher office.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's not good for
this out-of-work stripper told a man who sleeps on a picnic table in a taxi garage that Cory Booker is gay. Do you believe it?
It's called a first-hand source in journalism, I believe.
Listen, folks, when you come to Off the Meter, unimpeachable news sources.
It doesn't get more factual than this, folks. Cory Booker, here's the thing about him.
Follow the money.
If he,
there is none, Jim.
I don't know how much money that goes into flirting with a politician on Twitter, but It's interesting because, yeah, you know, you question a habitually single politician, or at least people, the so-called voting public,
it's convenient,
who I've never met, who cares about that kind of thing, does, you know, question, oh, he doesn't have kids, he doesn't have, you know, what kind of, do I want a man running my state if I can't, or my city if he can't raise children? And generally those two things are irrelevant, but I guess you want him to be sympathetic to the plight of the family or something. But, like, here's the thing. Booker, he responds to literally anyone who writes to him on Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, during the hurricane, people would be like, hey, they haven't turned on the electricity in my house, at Cory Booker. And he'd be like, go to my house. I have a DVD player and heat. You can watch some movies while we're getting the – like, literally, he had – constituents in his lobby, like in
but
in his
you're
kind of
saying his house is a YMCA.
Yeah, yeah. So
you're
substantiating
the rumor.
I see. Okay.
Hold on a second.
If you
want to
twist
Dean.
My words entirely, yeah.
I didn't see that coming, but you heard what Nat Townsend said.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, you're making an interesting connection there. It's something of a flop like, house.
What are the lyrics to YMCA?
You can get yourself clean.
You can
have
a good
meal. You can do whatever you feel.
Also, I think
young
man.
Right.
Matt Townsend says yes. He's emphatically says yes
think,
that this is true.
Think now,
thank you,
word.
Nat. Thank
that's,
you, Nat.
That's one Booker weighing
Booker.
In on another.
From Booker to Booker.
From
Corey Booker
to Booker.
If you're listening, I'm sorry. I wish you good luck on your
guess what, man.
Host of Nat Townsend's Downtown Variety Hour.
I
the
believe
official
it.
Gay stamp of Nat Townsend's Downtown Variety Hour.
I believe
hey,
it.
Hey, you know what? I hope he's gay. Who cares? You know what?
Oh, we don't care.
I hope he has sex with prostitutes and men. I don't. You know, whatever. The guy's a great politician. The guy rescues people from burning buildings with his bare hands.
All right, now you're talking about Superman, you dope.
No, you don't know about this.
Calm
Cory
down,
Booker,
comic boy. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Cory Booker. Two true stories about him. On the way to his inaugural speech, he saw a woman getting mugged out of the window of his car, had them stop the motorcade, ran down the mugger.
Yeah, you know, I know.
Yeah, yeah, right,
it's
right.
It's a setup.
It was,
kidding me?
And it had nothing to do with the fact that it was one of his aides.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so how about the time he pulled an old woman out of a burning building that the fire department was
his grandmother.
Yeah, I know.
You think they set a
he
building
set the
on fire.
Fire? He set the fire.
Come on, Chunk. Just
you
like
think
just like the time Michael Jackson came
fire?
To your house to use the bathroom, Chunk.
Look, I know
this Goonies.
That you are from Long Island Goonies. And are thus jaded at the idea that any politician could ever do a good thing. But it's not outside of the realm of possibility that there is one good guy.
Yes,
in Newark,
the one
New
from Newark, New Jersey.
That's
from Newark is legit.
All I'm saying is if there's one good guy in Newark, it's a good thing that he's the mayor. All right,
oh,
I'm not saying he's flawless.
All right, all right.
Listen, pal.
Cory Booker.
Cory Booker, Nat loves you. A radio hug from Nat Townsend to Cory Booker.
Right.
That's what we say. Cory Booker, mayor of Newark. You know, and by the way, I don't know where Newark was. Newark was bad. Okay, we know that. And it's purportedly come a long way. But they still have daytime prostitution.
Oh, yeah.
So it's daytime prostitution.
I drove through Newark the other day. That's why.
So the mayor of Newark is doing a great job.
Yeah, they have daytime prostitution in Newark.
I wish I were there.
Newark
it kills me not to be there.
Practically a lost cause, but you know, if you're doing a good job in Newark, all
that
means
job.
Is there's like
he's
you know
a, great job
a tenth
mayor.
Fewer prostitutes. But
they have a,
if you are going to cover up, though, think about it this way:
maybe
if
he
you
should
have
let
a
the
beard,
police stop the muggers, and he can worry about like stopping crime in general.
They're probably all too corrupt, right? But theoretically, if you are going to fake hetero by hiring a beard, do you really think that you would hire prostitutes or
yes,
strippers?
Because they're the ones that'll take money.
Yeah, they're the ones
that yeah. You really think that's I'm genuinely
Obama
asking
and
that,
I approve this message.
No, I'm telling you, because they're the ones that you can give them money, and if they decide to speak, they don't have credibility.
You can discredit them.
It's the smart thing to do.
Nat, we're real political operatives here.
Oh, yeah. I can tell. You guys have
we're
a
really
lot of,
sleazy.
You're basing this on
Nat,
a lot of facts.
We're sleazy guys.
Nat,
we're sleazy guys.
Nat, we're dirtbags.
Yeah.
We know how dirty
it works.
Not to trust a stripper, though. That's why it seems like they just it seems like that kind of person being able to handle themselves in a press conference is a dream. Like I feel like you could hire like some kind of like sleazy intern or like sleazy paralegal. Are there sleazy paralegals?
There
probably.
Are sleazy paralegals.
Yeah, you
there
know,
are.
a sleazy.
The point is,
administrative
a
assistant.
Nat
or something.
Townsend is on the air confirming emphatically that Cory Booker is in fact embroiled in this pay beard scandal. on Twitter.
You heard it here first, folks.
You've heard it here first.
Yeah.
What do you think, Dean? I mean, it's weird because he can't judge his sexuality. There's nothing
Honestly, if he's like openly flirting with strippers on his Twitter page and he's like saying, because he wants to be senator, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So what's happening is, because first of all, that's not a good idea if you're running for office. No. It just isn't. Unless you're doing that because it's covering up something worse or something that could be worse to your campaign. Just think about it. Why would you be openly flirting and be like, yeah, I flirt with them, you know, and it's fine. That's not a good thing to do when you're running for office, period, unless it's covering something else up that could be worse. He's balancing it out.
That makes sense. I just think it's like a poorly – if that's your cover story, it's like, no. I'm not gay. I just flirt with strippers on the internet. Like, that seems like a bad cover story, right?
Wow.
Like, no, I just want to be a senator.
But it also changes the conversation because it becomes about, like, hey, Cory Booker's flirting with strippers. He's flirting with strippers. He's flirting with strippers. You know what I mean? And so a lot of people just hear that and think, like, oh, should he be doing that? I think it's right. But the conversation is no longer about is the dude gay.
Yeah. Do you think it'll gain him any votes? Do you think that there are people in the who will be voting for him for Senate or who wouldn't have been
running?
He's down with strippers. All right, man.
The stripper vote.
The strippers.
Yeah, get that big stripper block.
He gets the stripper vote. They're all registered. And if he wanted to run for mayor of Chelsea, he'd win in a landslide where we record this show.
What do you think, Big Jim?
Who would vote for him? Lost their vote because they were convicted felons.
That's funny. Now, I know for a fact that Big Mike is an unimpeachable source. He's a genius guy.
Well, there you go.
He heard what he heard. No, it doesn't mean the girl's telling the truth, but it means he did hear what he heard.
But what does he think of what he heard?
Oh, he said he's 100% gay. He says 100% gay. 100,000% gay. But he's basing that on his own intuition.
So he
this is a 55-year cab driver.
Right, and you just pretty much like put the seal of approval on his... on his ability to, you said he's
to
like
rank
a really
people on the Kinsey
he's
scale.
A sharp guy, right?
Big Mike misses nothing.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
No, misses nothing. His parents were going to call him Razor. That was going to be his name. His
was it really?
Name, and the town wouldn't let him.
So, what is the motivation of the stripper to lie? Then I guess is the question.
Money,
Big
Money.
Mike. Yeah, but Big to lie to her own. Who is she talking to?
She was in the car with a press flack, and they were talking about how adorable it is. That they're going through all of this trouble to flirt with him and make him seem like a Lothario and a womanizer because he's gay.
And
they
so she's
actually,
being honest
you wanna know
to
what,
the press, you think, the press flag who
she's
telling there with.
She's there with a friend. She's just there with a friend.
I see.
And they were calling him Neil Patrick Harris because Neil Patrick Harris plays a famous womanizer on TV
and is actually
despite
gay.
Being gay.
Oh, boy.
So they call Cory Booker Neil Patrick Harris.
And they're both good at... sleight of hand magic.
Great at what they do.
Uh-huh.
So I think, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, was I in the cab? No. But it makes perfect sense.
Oh, I believe that Big Mike overheard that. That's why I'm trying to say, is there a motivation for the stripper to lie to her own friend? Because that's the questionable
no,
part, right?
I don't
we,
know.
We trust Big Mike's representation.
Because they were
the
driving
right?
from a presser together.
Doogie Booker.
How about that, huh? How about this?
Ran
folks?
For Senate at age 12.
How about this? Oh, my God.
President
goodness
by
gracious.
The time he was in high school.
The show's over.
How about this?
Big shout out to the Fink man.
Yeah.
Who is
good.
Heading up to the Al Sharpton birthday party as we speak to jump out of the cake. Daniel Linus came by and literally lit it up.
He lit it up.
Nat Talzin, of course. Substantiating Cory Booker's sexuality in a way that only he could.
It's good to be here.
Buy tickets to Nat Townsend's Downtown Variety Hour. That's not to say you're not going to get killed by a political operative between now and tomorrow. But no, go to the show. It's a great show. Right? I mean, you'd say that, right, Dean?
Outstanding.
If you're going to murder me, please come to the show and buy a ticket first. Have the decency.
Yeah, how about doing that? Pull a Mark David Chapman. Buy a copy of Double Fantasy. Get it autographed by Nat. Then kill the bastard.
I was sounding any John Lennon records you bring to the show.
Good stuff. Did you have one?
No.
The show's over, folks. Get down to Dominican University tonight. You can see the champ in action. Because you know you're big. When you're playing Orangeburg, New York, it's a burg named after a fruit that doesn't exist in that burg. That's a happening booking.
Doesn't get better than that, man.
Does not get better than that. Top of the line
booking.
Show's over. Stick around tomorrow. This is going to be a wild one. John Travolta's pilot license trainees, dog walkers, cousins, ex-air traffic controller's roommate.
We'll be calling in.
We'll be calling in to discuss NFL football picks in break number one.
Dynamite. Wow.
Paul Otto in break number two. Fantastic guest, friend of Nat's.
Uh-huh.
And we're also going to have, this one's insane, Sister Soldier. Remember Sister Soldier?
Yeah.
The woman who delivers her seamless web orders, dog walkers, cat groomer.
Oh, great.
Also going to be here.
That's
tomorrow
amazing.
To talk about grooming the cats of Sister Soldiers, seamless web delivery persons, dog walkers, cat groomer.
Where did you get these first-hand sources?
This is the type of heat
right
we're bringing to the airwaves, mm-hmm. ladies and gentlemen. The wheels of the revolution have begun to spin towards a cliff.
And we're working on getting the guy who had the seizure on Nat's subway.
I slipped the EMTs a business card. Hopefully they get back to me.
Really excited about
that. Stick around Monday. The guy masturbating next to you on the Greyhound bus will be with us.
But actually, that's actually a really good interview.
That's actually a big guess.
That guy knows Cory Booker.
You know what? There you go.
Have a good weekend, everybody, because I'm not really showing up tomorrow. Thanks for listening. This is the best we can do.
I enjoyed it. It was an unbelievably interesting experience.